At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. We listen deeply and take the time needed with each and every patient. We work together to develop a plan that fits into each patient's life and helps them to feel better faster. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, whether you're on your way to work, rocking a baby, or taking a stroll. We want to come together and learn about using a new healthcare approach that focuses on finding the treatment for the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive. All right, we are back with the Table Talk podcast. We're so excited today to talk about stress. We have lots of things to dive into with this topic. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce the ladies that are joining me today around our tables. So we have Dr. Sarah Batchoffner and also Dr. Nicole Grams are here, and they are going to dive into this topic. And we're just going to probably enough we could talk about related to stress for probably weeks or months. But in the next 30 minutes or so to, you know, give you a little glimpse into ways that we can help manage stress and some tools that you can use in your toolkit. So ladies, would you like to introduce yourselves? Tell us a little bit about where you are, where you're from, and why this topic interests you. So we'll start with Sarah.
Hi, I am Sarah Batchoffner, like she said, and I am in Montana. I have gone through my fair share of stress, not even just pharmacy school, but my own personal stress, and had to figure out how to get through that to the other side and transform it into a way that I can live and thrive. And so that being there and going through it myself makes me want to help others that I know are in the same position.
Awesome. Nicole, you want to give us a little intro?
Absolutely. Hi, I'm Dr. Nicole Grams. I am one of the Farm to Table team members in Wisconsin. And what lights me up about stress is the amount that I have endured myself. honestly, I've been through a lot of anxiety, depression, panic attacks, the whole everything. And it had a tremendous impact on my own body. And I'm still in the healing part of that. So I absolutely think it's one of the things that is talked about in conventional medicine, but no practical like application is available. And that's what I want to help people with, is how do I actually reduce stress in my life?
Right, right. Awesome. Well, many of you know me. I'm Melody Hartzler. I'm a pharmacist and the founder of Farm to Table. And I'm the host of our podcast, but I'm so thankful that these ladies get to jump in and chat with me, and I get to know my team more every time we record one of these episodes. So like we mentioned, we're talking about chronic stress and anxiety. And the thing about stress is that it is a normal response for your body to be stressed at times, but unfortunately it's the level of stress and it can really overload your body and create this anxiety. And so stress isn't just the mental, emotional pieces, but physical and environmental stressors can also, you know, play a role. And so we'll talk a little bit about that too, but today I think we're going to talk a lot about the mental and the emotional pieces, but it can really compromise our health, which, like Nicole mentioned, is why we're talking about this. And so some of those symptoms could be the mind racing. It could be just feeling like your heart's pounding. It could be even just fatigue from stress all the time. And so it's really become an epidemic, and often is a complaint that conventional medicine providers really hear from their patients. But like Nicole mentioned, we don't have a pill to treat that necessarily, because, you know, the conventional model, you know, is a lot of times they're doing great things and referring to mental health providers. But I will say, in my experience, there are not enough counselors, people that are really trained well to deal with this in the insurance world that most people are able to access. So it's unfortunate that a lot of times the care that's really needed to address previous tragedy or trauma that has happened in life that is contributing to this imbalance of stress hormones as well. So the stress system is really complex, and it involves the brain, involves the nervous system. It also involves a little gland that sits on top of the kidneys called the adrenal gland. And so when the brain feels stress, there it sends the signal to make those fight or flight hormones that we often refer to as adrenaline. And often these are the same hormones that help us wake up at the beginning of the day and then are low in the evening to help us fall asleep. But this chronic long-term, you know, activation of this, what we often refer to in medicine or functional medicine as the HPA axis, and we call that the stress system, that can be disrupted. And so then our, you know, hormones get disrupted, our melatonin that should be nice and high in the evening when we go to sleep gets disrupted. So oftentimes chronic stress can lead to insomnia, people waking up in the middle of the night, especially around that 3 or 4 timeframe in the morning or 2 to 3 in the morning, sometime there when that cortisol starts to rise again, and have trouble falling back asleep. But almost every organ in the body is impacted by stress. So if we think about the analogy, we always talk about this analogy that you're running from a bear, where in that case, yes, I need my body to be stressed. I need my heart to start pounding and my blood to start pumping throughout the rest of the body. My digestive system at that point is not interested in, you know, digesting that meal I just ate. I just need to, you know, get out of the way or whatever that, you know, situation is. But when we have this chronic psychological stress and our circulatory system is always, you know, in high revved up mode, and we don't get into that, what we call the parasympathetic or the rest and digest mode, then we start to lose proper digestion processes that should be happening in the body. And so when we get poor digestion, we start to get inflammation and other things going on that can lead to further, even stress can actually change the microbiome. So that part is like, sometimes I just think that's the craziest thing, that stress hormones can actually change the bacteria that are living in your gut. So there's some studies even looking at patients that were short-term in ICU, so in a very high medically complicated situation, and their gut microbiome, even if they didn't have antibiotics, changed during that time. And so if we think about this chronic ongoing stress and the fact we're not digesting foods properly, you know, we're not getting proper bile flow to digest those fats, which also shifts microbiome things. So lots of potential gut impacts. And so over time, you know, a lot of people end up getting what we call dysbiosis, or imbalanced bacteria in the gut, sometimes even SIBO, which we are going to talk more about during one of our podcast episodes, but this too much bacteria in the small intestine, potentially yeast overgrowth, because all of that, all the hormones and everything are getting out of balance. But for some people, the female hormone imbalances can also be something that is really impacted. Estrogen and progesterone have a nice balance that also controls, affects gut health as well. And so when we start to use up all the energy or all the sort of inputs that are there to create hormones, and we use that to create the stress hormone, it doesn't make as much of that progesterone, and sometimes can lead to imbalances there and more things. So anything else you guys want to throw in about what the chronic stress does to the body?
Sorry.
I mean, if I covered it all, great.
Yep. Yeah, we're good. No, you did a great job. That was an excellent summary. It just reiterating that, you know, chronic stress, whether it's physical or psychological stress, can have such an impact on hormones and gut health and mental health, and can make you feel like you're going crazy. When if you take some simple steps to address what's going on, it can make it a lot easier.
Right, for sure. And I think sometimes we think of even like the stress hormone, cortisol is the one of the stress hormones that produced in those glands that I mentioned that sit on top of the kidney called the adrenal glands. And over time, like when this system becomes dysregulated, sometimes then we're actually not producing enough cortisol. So people might feel really tired, or they experience low blood pressure, body aches, muscle pains, you know, things like that, thyroid imbalances. So there's lots of these chronic symptoms that our patients present with when they come for a functional medicine consult that are actually like stemming from the stress that they're experiencing, or even patients with metabolic syndrome. So that's one of the areas that I focus a lot on, is patients with type 2 diabetes and metabolic syndrome. So metabolic syndrome is just a term that defines like blood sugars are high, cholesterol is high. A lot of times patients in this metabolic syndrome state have trouble losing weight as well. But over time, that cortisol can really drive the blood sugar, you know, to be elevated, and the immune system becomes suppressed. And so we get these chronic inflammation, increased susceptibilities to viral infections, which is really what we're seeing in this pandemic right now, that it's not just a pandemic of, you know, a viral infection. It's really this pandemic of metabolic syndrome and chronic stress across our country. And so lots of things to dive into there, which we don't have time to fully dive into today. But so you guys tell me, what is the patient, whether it's you as the patient or one of your patients, like what do they come looking like? Or what's that first encounter when you're like, oh my goodness, we need to really address stress?
I feel like the ones that have come to me have just almost been in an overwhelmed state, a state where they're like overwhelmed, but also paralyzed in a sense that they can barely do anything in their day-to-day. And some are functioning enough to get the stuff that has to get done, the taking care of the kids and a little bit of taking care of the house and getting to and from work, but it's the extra things. And it's they look at you when you tell them that just one simple thing about changing something for their lifestyle. And they're like, yeah, I don't know what you mean. Like that's impossible. And you can just see it register as, I got nothing for you.
Yeah. I think a lot of the people that I see don't recognize how much stress they're putting themselves through because it's the day-to-day, you know, taking care of the kids, going to work, talking to their employees or employer or, you know, whatever. And then also trying to find fulfillment and purpose and all this stuff, like it's all packed. And especially, I mean, there's gender differences, there's pay gaps, there's all kinds of things that we are just sort of accepting as normal without really looking at what impact it's having on our own brains and bodies.
Yeah, accept it as normal. And not even when you even ask them point blank, are you stressed? A lot of times they say no. And then you point out all the things and
right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Or some people will say like, I handle stress well. And I've, you know, said that to myself in the past, like, oh, I handle this well. And in hindsight, you know, like, oh, it's not really that you're handling it. It's that you're not letting other people into, you know, seeing it, that's just sort of compounding on the inside and doing this damage internally to your body. So, okay. So talk a little bit about, you know, making, Sarah mentioned a little bit about like steps that we might take, you know, as you're talking to patients. So let's shift over a little bit too. We know stress has an impact in all of these chronic, you know, conditions, and we can test for, you know, some of these things. Now, functional medicine gets a bad rap sometimes because we want to do all these tests on everybody. And that's not necessarily the case. If someone comes to us and they are really in this stressed out state, we can certainly, there's a lot of interventions we can do without actually doing any testing, but we can certainly test cortisol levels. We can see first thing in the morning, 30 minutes later, are you having a nice cortisol rise? And then does that taper off nicely throughout the rest of the day so that your, you know, hormones are in balance at night? And so that picture, especially that first 30 minute rise in cortisol, is really helpful to determining, is your body like responding to the stress anymore? Or are we to the point where your body's sort of like overworked? It's used all the nutrients and proteins up and can't even produce the cortisol response anymore. It's just so out of whack. So we can certainly, you know, do those testing, but sometimes the answer is not that different if we don't do the testing. And so I think that, I mean, certainly we might use different supplements for support if the person needs adrenal support versus not. So I'm not saying testing is never necessary, but let's talk about the things that we can do to sort of modify, you know, some stressors we might not ever fully get rid of, like your kids aren't moving out of your house, but how can we help our bodies to respond to stress better? And what stressors maybe are things we can consider maybe getting rid of? So who wants to go first?
So something that I think of about stressors is not necessarily, and I don't know if I said this already before, but it's not necessarily what you're physically going through. It's what you're thinking about it. So I know Sarah would definitely agree with me on this one, but it's really understanding what thoughts you're having about, like, say your kids are running around crazy. Like, are your thoughts really negative about like how they should be behaving or how they shouldn't be doing this? Or can you slip into their kids, they're supposed to run around and I'm supposed to do this other stuff, right? Because you can take an approach that's very, very different and it has a very different physical effect on your body and your hormones based on literally your thoughts. So it's examining what your thoughts are about the situations and getting support to help sort of tease those out. And that's why I love like the packages that we have at Farm to Table that work with coaches and functional medicine providers, that we can kind of work on the emotional side of things a little bit too. And that being said, sometimes there are things that you need a therapist for. And I recommend therapy for everybody, even if you think you're doing okay, because there's always work that can be done.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point. It's not necessarily everything that happens to you, but how you perceive it and how you respond to that, that really creates the stress, what hormones are released and everything. So good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking about during this pandemic, like all these memes and things coming out about women that are just like, oh, I need my wine to calm down at night, or because I have kids, I need to drink, and just so much. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wine. Like Jesus gave wine to a wedding of people. Like it is not a bad thing necessarily, but if we're using that to address this as the stress, one thing, it throws off your sleep, and especially if you're doing it in the evenings, but it's just really like, we're not actually addressing the root cause of what's causing the stress and how we're perceiving the stress. So Sarah, what were we going to say about?
Well, that like the using of alcohol. So for some people it's alcohol, for some people it's food. It's like, I've got all this stress in my day and I need this. And you're so right. Society is putting all of that out there and we're all like contributing to it because yeah, it does kind of help in the moment. We're buffing away those feelings. They get to go away. We don't have to feel the stress and the weight of the day. And we don't have to work through all of the thoughts and feelings that we're having around that stuff so that we can actually get to the other side of it. We just kind of quiet it with a bag of Oreos or a whatever your choice is. If you're, I mean, even going on a really, really long run or having the whole bottle of wine or every single night you're having it or whatever it is that you use, that is not addressing that root cause. We're all big on that in functional medicine. The root cause isn't going away with the wine.
So, yes. So, you know, what then do we recommend our patients like off the bat? Like if you could tell your patient like one thing, you know, your first visit, when you see that they're overwhelmed, you know, everything you're talking about is just like glossing them over. What's that first step that you ask people to take?
I think one of the most powerful things that we can do is, some people will call it journaling. Some people call it thought download. Some people, you know, you can pick a topic or just free write. Like literally just get your thoughts out of your head. And this can be really helpful, especially if you're trying to go to sleep and your thoughts are racing, just write everything down, because a lot of times just getting it out of your head will get your brain to calm down. Like, okay, we've addressed it in some way. Even if you do nothing about what you wrote down, like it's still gonna, like, that's what I did for a long time, was right before I went to sleep, like physically keep a journal and pen next to your bed. And as you're settling in, just write what you're thinking. Or if you have the luxury of being able to turn a light on in the middle of the night when you wake up at that 2 or 3 o'clock point, write everything down. Or, I mean, I don't recommend keeping your phone next to your bed, but a lot of us do that anyway. So get your notes app out and just start typing things in there. Getting it out is the most powerful thing that I think.
Awesome.
Similarly, I think that's a really good thing for them to do on their own after that first meeting. But obviously you want to make some movement in that first meeting. So kind of trying to chip away at that almost shell that they come in with, because they're so unaware of the fact that they're having all of these thoughts that are pretty much immobilizing them from taking the steps they know that they need to be taking throughout their day. We all know we need to eat healthy. We need to bring in lots of produce and fruits instead of getting the grab and go stuff or through the drive-throughs. We all know we need to emphasize sleep. We all know that we need to move our bodies and to spend some time in quiet. And we hear about meditating and breathing and all of those things, but how do we get them to take any of those first steps? And so it's finding the places that they're blocking and working through some of those thoughts with them, and them actually finding that they aren't taking those steps, and then them finding something that they can do that's different than they're doing right now, that seems feasible, that's easier for them to do, and that finding that first step and then getting through that and giving them homework with the working on finding out what's in their head by putting it all out on paper.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I think another aspect that's really important, a lot of us are very, very self-critical. And I have an example of some coaching that I did with a client who, she was very hard on herself about how she wasn't doing the dishes. She lived alone in an apartment. You know, she hasn't cleaned up properly. And I'm like, okay, what does that even mean? Like, who cares if you're living alone? Who cares about the dishes, really? And she's like, oh, well, that's, you know, different. Now I kind of want to do the dishes, because it's not like a task that I'm forcing myself to do. It's something that, you know, I could do, not should, like could versus should is such a powerful thing sometimes, but like, just give yourself a break. If you don't have energy to do all the things, don't force yourself to do that, because that's just putting more psychological and physical stress on your body.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think we, you know, whether it's dishes or something we feel like society expects us to do, you know, as women and or men for that matter, but there's always like these societal, you know, norms per se that, you know, sometimes are expected, and it's expected that you're going to do X, Y, Z on top of your job and on top of this and that, but maybe there's a different place that you can come to where maybe I could do those things, but you know, I'm not going to choose to do that today or this week or this month for that matter.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So we could talk a little bit about breathing as we wrap up. I know we're going to have more and more information about this. We have one of our pharmacists is an expert in this and couldn't join us tonight. So I think we could talk for a whole probably episode about ways that you can take a moment and help reduce, bring yourself to a point where you're into this deep breathing. And the purpose for deep breathing is actually to get your vagal tone, so that getting yourself into that rest mode, so you're not in the fight or flight mode, is really why we're trying to do the deep breathing. It really activates that. Other things like laughter, doing, you know, singing can be helpful. So if you're like singing in the shower, getting that vibrato going in the morning or in the evening, whatever you do, like all of that is great. Sing it out on the way home from work to relieve stress. All of those things are going to help get you into that, not fight or flight, into that rest and digest mode. But any tips for people? Some people hear the word meditation and they're like, oh my goodness, what does that mean? Do I have to go to yoga? And some people of different faiths, you know, are like, well, is that, am I not a Christian if I like, you know, want to do this? Because this is an, obviously meditation happened in the Christian faith too, but a lot of the yoga came out of other traditions and other cultures. And so I think sometimes people are like, I just don't know where to start with this. And I don't know, you know, how to actually meditate. So what do you say to patients that are like, I need to learn how to do this, but I have no idea where to start?
I was the same way. And I was like, everybody's talking about it. I don't really know what it is. My friend gave me a free trial of the Calm app. And then I kind of discovered that it wasn't exactly what I pictured. It wasn't like sitting there humming or, you know, whatever it is in your mind. And I think that you can take the like baby steps toward it. I think journaling is a form of getting there. Just sitting there quietly is something. Yoga or stretching is kind of similar. And so if meditation seems a little bit woo-woo or it seems overwhelming, I think doing those smaller things helps you get to a point where you're like, okay, well, maybe I'll just YouTube meditation, 5-minute meditation or 1-minute meditation. And then you can, there's so many apps that help you do that, that you don't have to do it on your own. And in the apps within the same one, they often have breathing exercises in it too. So I think that's a good way of going about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love those guided meditations that are like music or someone's talking and then they're telling you what to do the entire time. So you don't even have to think about it. They're like, tighten this muscle or relax this muscle. And I can still remember Karen Swinefest, my choir director in high school, she would have us like lay across the room and she would just play the piano so softly. And like her voice would just like be speaking these meditation things. And it was so awesome. In high school, we were like, yeah, this is great. But we didn't really like, now I know like why she was doing that for us and how important it probably was to us at that crazy time of life. But yeah, those guided meditations are really nice to, you know, some of them have the ocean sounds and you just feel like you're laying at the beach. And after you're done from going, some of them go from head to toe, sort of tightening muscles and releasing muscles. But it gives you all the things you have to do. So you don't even have to think about it.
Yeah. And sleep is...
I'd like to add in that meditation doesn't have to be sitting there doing nothing, right? Being still isn't necessarily the point. The point is to just observe your mind. Even quieting your mind isn't always the point. So going for a walk and just mindfully being present is a form of meditation. Going out to water plants in the greenhouse can be meditation for you if you're just present and, you know, not stressed and anxious about what's coming up in the rest of your day or what has happened earlier in the day. Like the point is, I mean, I even tell people just to like sway back and forth. If they want to sit down, just sway back and forth. You don't have to be still in order to meditate.
That's a really good point.
I use meditation to help me sleep because I do sometimes have that racing mind and it's not intended to be used right then, but that's how I like it best because it turns off all that thinking and I just will listen to it. I'm supposed to be sitting. It tells me that, but I just lay there and then I go away and all of a sudden I'm awake in the morning when I'm supposed to be waking up. And we talked about how we obviously really, really believe and know that the number one top stressor is our thoughts and the way we perceive stress and stressful events. But sleep is a huge stressor too. So if anything that you can do to get a little bit more sleep, another one is inflammation, which could be coming from, you know, anywhere in your body. You're with disease states or something you're eating or any form of that. And then blood sugar. So keeping your eating stable throughout the day, there's a lot of things that we can do on top of just managing our mind. And if you can get that sleep under control, if it's using that meditating, then that's big, but there's so many things, steps that you can take, just design your whole night toward getting that sleep. And it really is a 24-hour event that we could get into a lot more on, but I don't know how deep we're going today, but.
Right, right, for sure. Well, we did a summit back in May of 2021, all about stress. It was called the Stress Solution. And so that is available on our website at farmtotable.life. And it's actually /stress-solution. And so we can link that for you guys. If this is a topic that's really interesting to you, it's a great place to like get started. We have that course on the website all recorded from that day. And the other thing is working, like, you know, Sarah and Nicole are both coaches on our platform. So you have 15-minute consults that you guys can meet one of these ladies or one of our other coaches and find out if it's a good fit for you to go through some health coaching or maybe, depending on your symptoms, maybe working with a clinician as well to try to address everything. But there's so much we can dive into, like Sarah said, that we don't have time to dive into on this episode, but we are definitely going to do another episode with Veronica, our other pharmacist, who is going to talk about breathing more in depth and yoga. So stay tuned for that. But thank you, ladies, for joining me tonight. I think this was a great discussion around stress, and I think we'll hopefully help folks as they're getting started on this journey to really getting this under control so that they can be thriving. So I hope you have a wonderful evening. Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.